Thank you. And thank you for this slightly undeserved praise. I mean, I must say that without my co-organizers, there wouldn't be any meeting and at all. Okay, I wanted to, I planned to make slides, but yesterday night I realized that I hadn't brought the pens with me, so no slides. I planned to come early this morning to recycle some slides of previous talks, but the shortcut I usually take was locked, and it cost me 10 minutes. I just arrived in time. So I guess we will not have slides, that's a certainty. I will talk about the model theory of difference fields. So I've been working on this for probably close to 10 years now. I find it's a fascinating subject in which there are still many open questions. I will try to give you a flavor of the results obtained up to date, and I hope that I will have time to say a few words about the approach to Galois theory of difference equations viewed using model theory techniques, and why not having an algebraically closed fixed field is not a problem, or is a problem, who knows. Okay, so first the setting. For me, a difference field will be a field with a distinguished automorphism. Which I denote by sigma, usually. So I should first immediately give a word of warning. In the literature, the sigma is not assumed to be onto. However, given a field with an endomorphism sigma, there is a sort of unique smallest field containing this field in which sigma is onto, on which sigma is onto. So this is not really a problem. So the language in which I will deal with those fields is just the usual language of ring, plus minus times 0, 1, plus a unary function symbol for sigma. Occasionally, I mean, so these are the formulas I will work with. When I deal with notions of substructure, I will actually add sigma inverse and also minus the field theoretic inverse to the language. But I mean, this is just a detail. Okay, before being able to say something about axiomatization, formulas, and so on, I will need to do just a bit of difference algebra. So I have K, a difference field. I'm going to form the difference polynomial ring in an indeterminate, and this is as in differential algebra, it's just as a ring, it's the ordinary ring on indeterminates x1, xn, sigma of x1, sigma of xn, sigma square of x1, etc., on which you have the obvious action of sigma. In other words, sigma of sigma j of xi is sigma j plus 1 of xi. So these rings were studied by Ritt in the 1930s. They have nice properties. So you have the right notion of ideals is of course a sigma ideal. So that is a sigma which is an ideal I, which is closed under sigma. In contrast with differential algebra, the ideals that you really want to consider are actually those which are called reflexive, so meaning that if sigma of A is in I, you would like to have A in I. I mean, if you are thinking about these ideals as representing as defining equations in fields, and if you are looking at the solution of these equations, then clearly, if sigma of A equals zero, then A should be zero as well, right? And finally, there is another condition which is akin to, which is similar to radical ideal, which is that for every n in n, you must have that if A, sigma of A to the n is in I, then A should be in I. Again, for obvious reason. So the different strings do not have the ascending chain conditions on sigma ideals. However, if you restrict your attention to perfect sigma ideals, then you do have ACC. So from this, it follows that if you define a topology on a field, which I'm going to call an indifference field, which I'm going to call the sigma topology, whose basic open set, or closed set rather, are the sets defined by sigma equation, so the set of A in K to the n, such that F1 of A equals Fm of A equals 0, you get that this topology is Noetherian, which means that every descending chain of closed sets is going to be closed. So in particular, you have a notion of irreducible components and so on. So the irreducible components will correspond to prime sigma ideals, prime perfect sigma ideals. And I guess now I'm ready to define what is a generate difference field. So the elements of this ring up there are called difference polynomials. An equation of the form f1 of x bar equals 0 is called a difference equation. These things occur very much in analysis, the typical example being you look at C, on which sigma is the identity, and then you adjoin a variable and you define, for instance, sigma of z equals z plus 1, or there are other possibility, which are sigma of z equals qz, with q not a root of unity. So these are the type of difference fields which are mostly studied in the literature from an analytic point of view when you look at solutions in rings, in fields of meromorphic functions and stuff like that, study singularities and so on. So from our point of view, our approach will not bring much because in a sense we are only working algebraically, so all the analysis will be lost. But maybe some of the algebra will be made clearer. So a generic difference field so this is going to be what we call in monotheory an existentially closed difference field. So in other words, it's a field U with a homomorphism sigma such that every finite system of difference equation over U which has a solution in some field, in some difference field extending U, already has a solution in U. So it is clear that an existentially closed difference field should satisfy this property. The difficulty is to make sure that this collection that there is a collection of axioms which express these properties. But actually, there is, and so one sees obviously that a generic difference field will have to be algebraically closed, because if you have an automorphism of a field, it does extend to the algebraic closure. And the third relevant axiom is a scheme of axiom which says that for all absolutely reducible varieties, U and V defined over U, if V is contained in the product of the variety U and U sigma, where U sigma is obtained by applying sigma to the coefficients of the defining equations of U, and if V projects dominantly onto U and U sigma, then there is the point A such in U, in some power of U, such that A sigma of A is in V. So this is the scheme of axiom that will make things work. It turns out that this is first order. This is not difficult using algebraic geometry. Note that the only occurrence of sigma is, you know, we apply sigma to the parameters of the defining equations. Right. And I should mention that actually one can restrict one's attention to the case where U and V have the same dimension, which means that the set of solutions of this equation will form a set of finite order. In other words, every n tuple in that set will generate a difference field of finite transcendence degree over the field over which everything is defined. Okay. So I should mention that very often I will be working in a large model, a large generic field. So this means what? So you have to think about it as a universal model of the theory. So this means that in my condition of every finite system of difference equation, I will replace it by every maybe infinite but of bounded size system of difference equations, which has a solution in an extension, has a solution in the field. So this will allow me to embed all the difference fields I consider into that large model U. Okay? So what are the good properties of this field? So the theory of this generic field is called ACFA. So the theory is decidable. In fact, this follows from some other property, which is one can describe all the complete theories of generic difference fields. And more generally, if the field E is a difference field which is algebraically closed. So my notation for algebraic closure in the sense of field theory will be upper alg. Then, actually the theory, so let me call ACFA union the quantifier free diagram of E is complete. In other words, if U and U prime are models of ACFA and contain E, then they satisfy the same sentences with the same formulas with parameters in E. Okay, so from this one gets, from this result, one gets immediately, so first of all, a description of the completion. So the completion are going to be obtained by describing the action of sigma on the algebraic closure of the prime field. So for instance, it could be that sigma is the identity on the algebraic closure of the prime field. That will give you a complete theory. So you will know everything that happens. Or it could be not. I mean, it could be, for instance, that if you work in characteristic P, it could be that a fixed field is FP. This is not a problem. And in yes. I lost.
Some of them.
A whole pile of them. Okay. From this one obtains a description of the definable set. In other words, so you have S contained in U, in a subset of UN is definable. So then this means that there is a sigma closed set W contained in some Cartesian power of U, such that if pi is the natural projection from un plus m to un, then pi restricted to w is onto s and has finite fibers. Okay, so we do not have quantify elimination. It's not true that every formula is equivalent to a Boolean combination of difference equations. But we have something which is not too far from it. That's actually what makes the model theory of these fields quite interesting. I mean, you have sort of finite cover phenomenon. And actually, there is a result of Babbitt, but I'm going to explain it later, which even restricts the shape of the W's that you need to consider. Okay, so I guess I should say that you see here I have introduced, I've looked at a field which is a difference field and which is algebraically closed as a field. It turns out that these fields correspond exactly to the model theoretic algebraic closure. Okay? So this is quite useful. This means also that independence will be given, which I denote by A independent from B over C. It means that if you look at the algebraic closure of CA and the algebraic closure of CB, then they are linearly disjoint over the algebraic closure of C. In other words, if A and B are not independent over C, then there will be some tuple over A, some tuple in A, which will satisfy an equation with coefficients in BC, which is not implied by the set of equations it satisfies over C. Okay? So this is a nice notion, a natural notion, and it coincides with what we call in model theory independence. And one of the corollaries that the theory of U is going to be super simple and with stable forking. So this is an aside for the specialists. What are other good properties? So you can wonder if U's generic, well, I mean, sigma to the n is also it's a definable automorphism of your field, right? So what about U sigma n? Well, the result is that indeed U sigma n is also generic. And actually, if you're in characteristic P, you have other definable automorphism around. In other words, you can also add powers of the Frobenius. This turns out to be quite useful in characteristic P, because there are, in characteristic P, we have actually many fields lying around which we'll have to consider. Okay, so one of the important structure is what I call fix of sigma. It's the set of elements of U which are fixed by sigma, sigma of A equals A. So this is a subfield of U, and it has some nice properties. So it is what is called pseudo-finite. That means this is an infinite model of the theory of finite fields, i.e. it behaves as an infinite finite field, if you want. Sorry. So I think we already heard about these fields. They are perfect. Their gamma group is z hat. That is, they have, for every n, they have exactly one extension of degree n. And they are pseudo-algebraically closed, which means that every absolutely reducible variety defined over the field has a point in the field. Okay. I wanted to say a lot of things about this field, but I first need to say something, which is that using some machinery, one can show that that the theory of U eliminates imaginaries. So what does that mean? This means that if you have a zero definable equivalence relation of some Cartesian power of U, this equivalence relation will have concrete representatives in U. Okay, so example, you have a definable group G, you have a definable subgroup H. Well, the coset G mod H will have representatives in your difference field. So this is an important property, because it allows you to replace, when you want to replace interpretable things by definable things. And this makes really life much easier. Okay.
It's a dangerous word, representative, because usually people use it to mean that there's an actual element of the class.
Yes, that's right. I don't mean that there is an element of the class. I mean that there is a code for the class. So if you think about algebraically closed fields, in algebraically closed fields, it is something that you use imaginaries without knowing it. I mean, so in algebraically closed fields, it is really the fact that every algebraic variety has a unique field of definition, right? I mean, a field of definition, yes. Okay. So in our case, well, while it's certainly totally believable that a sigma closed set would have a unique field of definition, since after all it's just a variety, right? I mean, it's an algebraic set. What this says is that, in a sense, I mean, it doesn't really matter how you choose the W, there still will be a code of this definable set. I mean, you could imagine that, you know, that the code for S would depend on how you choose the W. Well, it does not. Okay. Jesus. follows that actually fix of sigma is what we call stably embedded. And this means that every, if S is a subset of some Cartesian power of fix of sigma is definable with parameters. From U, then in fact it is definable with parameters from fix of sigma. And this this is really quite useful. I mean, for instance, if you have a variety, I guess it's obvious for varieties, so let me not say. Sorry. I should have thought of it. Okay. So one of the big problems with these difference fields, but also, as I said, which makes life interesting, is that they don't have quantifier elimination. And this is probably best seen on the fixed field. You see that if you take your favorite element in the fixed field, which is transcendental, which is transcendental over the prime field, right? So, I mean, any two have the same quantifier, three types, right? Now, there is the question, so if you take an element in the fixed field, and if you take a square root of it, is it fixed by sigma or not? Well, this clearly involves an existential quantifier. A priori, you don't know. So there are several examples, also more complicated examples. In fact, the failure of quantifier elimination is due to the fact that if you have an automorphism of a field, it may be that there are non-isomorphic ways to extend it to the algebraic closure. And in fact, the problems are due to what we call finite sigma stable extension. So if E is a difference field, a finite sigma stable extension of E is a difference field F containing E with F over E finite. In other words, a finite algebraic extension of E, which is preserved by sigma. So, of course, you see that any subfield of fixed sigma has many of those, right? And the theorem of Berbic says that if one knows sigma on all finite sigma stable extensions of E, then one knows sigma on the algebraic closure of E. Okay, there are actually a bit finer characterizations, but I'm not going to go on that. Okay. So, I guess I have finished more or less with all the sort of preliminary, the general model theoretic results about those fields. In my opinion, there are three areas in which particularly nice things might lead to new problems and results. So one of them has already been used. So there is this concept of one-based types in model theory, which I'm going to quickly recall. So you have S, a definable set over E, which I'm going to assume algebraically closed. then S is 1-based if whenever A is in SM and B is in SL, then A and B are independent over a set C, which is obtained by taking the algebraic closure of EA, intersecting it with the algebraic closure of EB. Now, these sets have very good properties. I mean, in the stable case, for instance, if you have a group which is 1-based, then you know that automatically this group will be abelian. You know that it will not have much more structure than a module, that in a sense it will be bi-interpretable with a module over some countable ring. In our case, it's a little bit more complicated, but not much. And one of the important results which was obtained and which led to some of the applications by Hrushovsky and by Scanlon to Manion-Mumford was the characterization of those one-base sets and the realization that, in fact, they do behave as if they were stable, at least with respect to quantifier-free formula. So the result is, not here, yes. So the theorem is, so it's due to Hrushovsky, Petersil, and myself. So if you have S definable contained in some Cartesian power of U and of, right, then either S is 1-based, or there is an infinite S prime contained in S and a finite to 1, so everything is definable, right? Definable map F from S prime to, well, a priori, in characteristic 0, it's to fix of sigma. In characteristic of P, we have other non-1-base sets, which are the other fixed field. So onto fix of sigma to the n from m. So it's not onto, it is only, but I mean, it's fine, it has an infinite image, okay? So this allows one to give a criterion for definable subgroups of algebraic groups, which are the ones which are one-based, which are the ones which are not. So by what I said before, they have to be close to abelian. So for instance, subgroups of general linear groups on, which are Zariski dense are not going to be one-based in general. The other remark is that, of course, they must be of finite order if you want to have a hope, because, I mean, when you take things which are sigma transcendental, everything can happen. So...
Sorry, is that for all n and m or for some n and m?
There exists n and m such that.
That n is different from...
Yes. Sorry. Okay, I should mention that in characteristic zero, you actually get a stronger result. In other words, that if the S is one-based, then actually S within the induced structure is stable. In any case, in terms of application, that doesn't really matter, because what one mostly work with is intersecting algebraic varieties with some weird groups. Well, not weird, but non-definable groups. And I guess the important result, which is due to Khoshovsky and Pillay in the stable case, and which does generalize to our case, is the following. Let B be a one-based definable subgroup of G of U, where G is algebraic. Let X, say, be a sigma closed set. Then X intersect B is a finite union of closed sets of subgroups of B. So this is what makes everything work. When you allow Boolean combinations, you get Boolean combinations. But I should mention that in characteristic P, you cannot extend this to definable sets. Okay, the result is false. Okay. Right. Okay. So actually, So as I said, in characteristic P, things do not behave as nicely as in characteristic zero. There has been some work trying to figure out when the hypothesis, when does one have one basedness implying that the induced structure is stable. In other words, the analogous to what's happening in characteristic zero. So in the case of abelian algebraic groups, actually, it turns out that if the group is a semi-abelian variety, then you do get that the induced structure on a one-based subgroup is stable, and therefore you do get the full theorem. But as I said, it's usually not used in applications. So the groups which can be one-based but not stable are definable subgroups of the additive groups. And there you really have lots of examples of things which do not work out well. But there are also interesting phenomena like bilinear, non-degenerate bilinear forms which are definable and so on. And probably it would be worth studying. So, as is clear from this theorem, I mean, what are the bad? Why is the structure not stable? It's because of the fixed field, and because the fixed field is not algebraically closed. And that's one of the reasons, right? So, what happens if we impose to the fixed field to be algebraically closed? In other words, we look at the theory of difference fields with algebraically closed fixed field. Does this theory have a model companion? Can we axiomatize the class of existentially closed models? Well, there is a result of Pillay saying, no, one cannot. I mean, the class of existentially closed difference field with an algebraically closed fixed field is not elementary. And the reason is basically because you look at the map sigma of x over x, and this map should be onto, right? I mean, so if you impose, so in our case, this map is onto. In the case of difference field with algebraically closed subfield, the only point that it's going to miss are the roots of unity, okay? So, but that's a countable set. So you have problems. Okay. Right. So I'm going to say a few words about the Frobenius. I'm not going to write down anything. It's contained in many survey papers. But I mean, just as a matter of curiosity, I guess one of the reasons people started studying the theory of difference fields was because there was a hope that these fields would behave like the fields, the algebraic closure of the prime fields with Frobeniuses or powers of the Frobenius, right? If you know a bit what has been going on, there has been a very nice result by James X, who characterized the, who described the theory of all finite fields, and this led to applications. So the idea was, okay, so what happens if we take now algebraic equals fields of characteristic P with the power of the Frobenius, and we look at what happens when P to the n tends to infinity. Well, it turns out that the asymptotic theory of these fields does indeed coincide with the theory of generic difference fields. In other words, if I take an ultra, a non-principal ultra product of all these fields, where P to the n range over all powers of primes, then I'm going to get a generic difference field. So this gives you results on asymptotic behavior of difference equation and how of equation involving powers of the Frobenius. So this result is due to Hrushovsky and McIntyre. And so I guess, so Hrushovsky shows it by actually looking at the basic axiom of the form V containing U cross U sigma and counting the number of points uniformly in the parameters. So the so you get an estimate on the number of points which is similar to the Langevin estimates for finite fields. So this has led to several applications. One is a solution of the Jacobi conjecture for difference equations, which comes out of just counting points, because you reduce to FPALG, and then you have things which are finite. So the Jacobi conjecture is you have n difference equations in n unknown, and you look at the order of the irreducible components of finite order, okay, and you give a bound for this order. So that's an application by Udi. One can also, using these, look at, I mean, define uniformly some families of finite simple groups. And finally, one can put a measure on sets of finite order, definable sets of finite order, and this was done by Reiten and Tomasic. I mean, so with various definability issues. Okay. Now, what I wanted to talk about for the 10 minutes that are left to me, maybe I should ask first if there are any questions. Okay. So I would like to talk about Galois groups and of difference equation. So in Monod's theory, we have a natural definition of Galois group, and in the case of a theory which obtains, which eliminates imaginaries, we do have a Galois correspondence between certain things. Okay, let me be a bit more precise.
Sorry, I do have one question. In this theorem on the board to your right, what does this mean if the characteristic is zero? The Frobenius.
The Frobenius is equal to the identity, and L is equal to 1.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's just one of the fixed fields, okay? I mean, there are several floating around in characteristic P. Incidentally, I should mention a problem which is still open in characteristic P, which is the difficult one, is find sigma in the an automorphism of the algebraic closure of FP, which is not the power of Frobenius, standard power at least. Such that the resulting structure has more than rank 1. In other words, that every definable set will be either finite or cofinite. And this, of course, uniformly in the parameters used to define this set. Okay? So there are trivial consideration tell you that the fixed field of such a sigma will have to be finite. Obviously, right? Since if it's cofinite, then it's going to be the whole thing, right? So this is a hard problem. Okay, gamma groups. So there is a general method for studying certain definable groups of automorphism. So you have S and C. I'm going to briefly sketch the context in the model theory case, but I will go actually fairly quickly to what happens in difference equation. And actually, it does not quite—it's not quite the same context as what we are going to do. Okay, so I have S and C definable for some E in some large model of the theory. And it turns out that there is some finite set B, some tuple B, such that actually S is contained in the definable closure of E, B, C. In other words, for every A in S, there exists a finite tuple C in C, such that F of B bar C bar is equal to A, where F is a definable map. So I guess I'm always. So there exists F, a definable map, which is defined over E, and which has as parameter B. Okay? So you are inside the large model of your theory. Your theory eliminates imaginary, probably. And you look at the automorphism of M over A, which fix A and C. And this is going to restrict to a set of permutation of S, which fix A and C. Right?
A E.
Yes, A E, yes. And under suitable hypothesis, so first of all, you can assume that B is actually contained in S. And in fact, this group, so this group is going to be coded by tuples of C. In other words, what is an automorphism of S? Once I know that the image of B under this automorphism, I know my automorphism, right? Because it fixes all the parameters of this map. So in other words, an automorphism of this corresponds to what is F of B. Automorphism tau, what is tau of B? Once I know the image tau of B, I know what it is. And this, I know that it's going to be of the form F of B bar C tau for some C bar in C. So my automorphism there is going to be coded by a tuple in C. Yes? So under suitable condition, it turns out that you get a definable group structure or infinite definable group structure on C. Okay, so this thing was, I guess, the main where it was mostly used in model theory so far has been for differential fields, where C is the field of constants, and S is a field defined by a set of linear differential equations. Actually, one can extend the result to sets which are a bit more complicated, and one gets that the automorphism group is definable and is a differential subgroup of GLM of the constants. Algebraic subgroup, sorry. Okay, so now in differentially closed fields, what happens is that you have quantifier elimination. Okay? In other words, if you have a map which sends my element B bar to something which satisfies the same differential equations over E and C, then it will satisfy the same type. Okay? So in other words, you can restrict your attention to automorphism of a certain finitely generated field. And things work well. Now, in the case of difference fields, this is not the case. We do not have quantifier elimination. Okay, so let me give you the setting. Because I suppose that people familiar with linear differential equations know what I'm saying, but maybe the others do not. So I'm looking at a linear difference equation, which is of the following form. So I have some difference field K. I embed everything in some large model U. And I look at an equation of the form. I have some matrix A in GLN of K. And I look at the equation sigma of x equals ax, where x is an n by n matrix, which I'm going to suppose are the variables corresponding to an n by n matrix. And I will look only at the ones which are invertible. So, the idea is to study you have the solutions, you look at the set of solutions of this equation in U, and you would like to look at what are the automorphism induced by U onto this set of solution. So now, as I said, things are going to be a bit complicated. You will have to look at formulas which are not necessarily existential, and things will not be so good. But actually, it turns out, so what one does in analysis is that one looks at the automorphism of the field generated over K, of the ring generated over K by a special solution. Okay, so let me, it's well written, but I don't know how to say it, I'm sorry. Okay, so let me say what I want to say. So the way I look at these things is that I'm going to find a group of automorphism of a certain field, okay? Then I'm going to define the Picard-Vaisseau extension, and I'm going to tell you why these two things are the same. So I'm looking at L, which is just you take the rational function field K of x, and you define sigma on it by sigma of x equals ax. So this is, in a sense, a generic solution of your equation, right? So you look at the fixed subfield of L, which I'm going to denote CL. So the set of elements of L which are fixed by sigma. And I look at DL, which is CL alg, the relative algebraic closure of CL inside L. Now, what do we know about this field? It is going to be a Galois cyclic extension of CL. That's what we know. Okay, and then I'm looking at the group G, which is part of L over KCL. Okay? Now, this thing is going to be a subgroup of n by n matrices with coefficients in CL. Let me show you why. Suppose that you have x1 in L satisfying star. Then you get almost immediately that sigma of x1 inverse x is equal to x1 inverse x. Now, x and x1 are invertible, so therefore this thing is in GLN of CL. Okay? An automorphism of L will be completely determined by another matrix, another solution, x1 of this difference equation, and this one is going to be given by some matrix there. So one should pay attention that not all matrices of this group will work. Because remember, I need to fix CL. Okay? But in fact, if one sees that the elements that CL is generated over the field of constants of k, over the fixed field of k, by certain polynomials, by certain rational functions over k, one sees that this thing is actually defined by this G is an algebraic group, algebraic subgroup of GLN of CL, which is defined over K. And in fact, by this table embeddability, which I showed, which I didn't show but which I stated, it's also going to be defined over the constants. So it's going to be defined over I'm not writing anything. Well, no, I'm not writing anything. So in certain cases, when the field of constants of when the fixed field of K is algebraically closed, you can say that it's also defined over CK. Otherwise, you need to actually take the relative algebraic closure of CK. There are some issues here. I mean, one of the problems we don't really have, it's not clear that there is a totally satisfactory Galois correspondence because of the problems that while our theory eliminates imaginaries, which is what Galois theory is all about, right? The fact that fixed field correspond to definable groups and so on. The problem is that the imaginaries will be indeed elements of the algebraic closure of K, which are definable over K, but maybe they are not in K. So this actually these type of problems are being studied by a student of Woody, by Moshe Kaminsky, and so probably there will be a better description of what is going on. Okay, so here I got an algebraic group. So now let me show you what the classical approach is. So the classical approach is you look at the polynomial ring K of X bar, you add, you invert the determinant of X bar, and you take I, the maximal sigma ideal, and you look at R, which is K of X bar, determinant of X bar inverse, divided by R. Okay? So this is a difference ring. In general, it is not a domain, but it is a sum of domains where each of the Ri is a domain, and C, which is a sigma L difference ring. So in a sense, it's quite close to be nice, right? The constants of the fixed field of R is just, if I'm not mistaken, it's just the fixed field of K, at least when that one is algebraic if K.
What does A come into the definition there?
Thank you. Yes, I define an automorphism of this ring by setting sigma of x equals to x. Okay? Sorry. Then I take a maximal sigma ideal. One gets a ring, right, which is a product of domain, a direct sum of domain, which has a certain difference field, fixed field, and one looks at the automorphism group of R over K. And the result is that this is an algebraic subgroup of GLN of fixed sigma of K. So here I'm going to assume that fixed sigma of K is algebraically closed. Okay? Okay, so the obvious question, we have two algebraic groups, are they the same, right? Okay. Okay, so they are the same. So the reason being that if you extend the constants of this ring R, okay, and if you take an appropriate ring of quotients, if you tensor your L with DL over CL, then actually you get, and take the ring of quotients, then you're going to get the same things. Okay? And, I'm sorry. And so this gives that the two groups are the same. I'm really sorry. I don't know the time.